Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals.
And for this week's Bible verse, we've partnered with Tony Financial Services, and it's Proverbs 27:17. And as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
Yeah, and we extend a heartfelt thanks to Tony Financial Services for providing this week's scripture.
Thank you!
Tony Financial Services is a trusted wealth management firm that specializes in biblical financial principles and biblically responsible investing. They are proud members of the Kingdom Advisory Network, and investment services are offered through an LPL financial member. We are grateful for their continued partnership and their commitment to faith-based stewardship. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. Today we're doing part two, and we're talking about the issue of isolation, specifically with men.
And how dangerous it can be to be alone, to be by yourself, and some takeaways of some application to go find some people that you really want to hang with.
So, I forgot to say happy birthday to you.
Last week?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was okay not talking about it. I was all right with
you're
that.
Like, you're into your 40s now, right?
Yeah.
You're like 40-something?
40-something, yeah.
And you were an old man.
I like that. I like that coming from my 60-year-old friend.
I'm getting old. I'm a double nickel.
Double nickels, baby.
Yeah. So I want to talk about part two from the men's conference, because he said the two greatest failures of men, and we talked one last week, was passivity, and we talked about authority and dominion. But the other challenge, he said, a failure of men is isolation. And I was thinking about this from a biblical point of view. If you look at Judas Iscariot, let's talk about Judas Iscariot, and you look at Peter. Both Judas and Peter betrayed Jesus. And it didn't go so well with Judas, and Peter ends up getting reinstated. And the difference I wanted to point out between Judas and Peter is Judas isolated himself, and he left the discipleship group. He left the other disciples, and he ended up
hanging himself.
He hung himself. What does Peter do? Well, Peter, of course, feels terrible about it because he's denied Jesus, but he doesn't leave the group. He goes back into his small group. He goes back with the discipleship group. They're hanging out in the upper room, and then they decided to go fishing, which wasn't the greatest thing to do. But he's in community.
Yeah, but that was his thing before Jesus.
Yeah, he kind of goes back.
He goes back to what he used to do.
So it wasn't a terrible thing.
No,
but he's the difference between Judas and Peter. They both deny Jesus. Judas isolates himself. Peter gets back into fellowship, gets back into community, gets back into relationship. Of course, Jesus shows up, and they make the big catch. They cook breakfast, which a lot of times communities around food, which I know you love food. I love food. I probably love food more than you love food.
But just a smidge.
But the thing I was pointing out is Judas isolated himself. Peter got back into community.
You know what's crazy about that is just my sinful nature or my thought process. Like when you say Judas and Peter and you put them together, I'm like, Judas don't deserve to be in that conversation. Like to me, because obviously Judas betrayed Jesus on a whole nother level. Obviously the ramifications were much more significant, much more painful. But Peter did the same thing about denying him and betraying him. I mean, I it's interesting in my head and the connotation, because I'm doing what you shouldn't do. I'm like, well, one was worse than the other, right? Like, mm-hmm. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to look at a sin as sin. Like, messing up is messing up. But yeah, Peter's.
And I think so many of us can relate to Peter because we've all done things in our lives that we're ashamed of. We have guilt or we have shame. But the difference is he stayed in fellowship. He stayed in community. And Jesus shows back up, and he got back into fellowship. And he ends up becoming the pastor of the first church. He preaches the first message of Pentecost. 3,000 people accept Christ, baptized on the spot. And it goes completely different for Judas than it does Peter. And I think what I want us to get into today is, why do men isolate ourselves? Why do we not put ourselves in fellowship? Why do we not put ourselves in a community? We have accountability, you know, where we're allowing other men to hold us accountable to being godly husbands.
The first thing that comes to mind is very easy to me. It's easier. It's easier.
Easier to stay isolated.
It's easier nowadays to do that. It's easier to be on my phone. It's easier to watch Netflix. It's easier not to cultivate relationships and not put effort into things. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to do that anymore. Like, you know, these kids nowadays aren't even dating. I mean, a lot of the boys nowadays are not dating because they're not learning communication skills because they just have a device that they can use. They don't have to, like, have to muster up the courage to go talk to someone. They could just do it behind a screen. Like, think how easy that is.
Well, now with AI, I mean, you can
know it's real.
You can have the perfect girlfriend that basically
doesn't
tells
exist.
You how great you are.
Yeah.
And they don't really exist, but
do you do the AI world, by the way?
I'm trying to get better at it. I'm trying to learn.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Russ Tanner, my buddy, showed me this morning the morning of my birthday when we worked out. He showed me basically an app, and he started putting all this thing, and it said roast, you know, unfiltered roast or something, and put my name in, and then, like, it just tore me to shreds. It was fantastic. Like, it was unbelievable. But I have so many buddies that are using AI and how much it can help you organize thoughts
organize
and think about
and
things
save
and
time.
Save time on trip. You can literally put in these things now with ChatGPT, and I think it's Grok. Is it Grok? Is that
Grok,
how you say
that's
it?
What I've been trying
yeah,
to
like
use.
You literally can put in, I'm going to be in the east side of New York at this time. Like, what do I need to see? What do I need to do? Like, mm-hmm. And it can help you schedule. But you're right. I mean,
I was talking to one of the local high school football coaches, and he had a parent meeting the night before. And so he just plugged in a ChatGPT. Hey, send a follow-up letter to 100 parents from our high school football team. I want to hit these main points. And literally within, you know, seconds, this whole letter. Now, he had to go back and put it in his own words
and edit it.
Then he said, put together a workout training program based on University of Georgia football team that would be 3 days a week or 4 days a week for high school football players. And the whole thing just maps out this perfect, like,
I don't think it's
just
good.
Just within minutes, you know?
I don't think it's good.
You don't think AI is good?
I just don't. I don't think that. I don't think, like, the Google generation. I just think that. Like, it's funny, you sit there and have a conversation with your kids and something comes up and you're like, oh, where did they go to school? Or, you know, where did they play college ball? And it's like, well, hold on a second. I'm like, no, use your brain. Like, tap into your brain and go, where did they play? What were the color of the uniforms? Like, maybe it's a heck of a thought, but maybe we can figure it out without searching it. Like,
yeah, I like to wonder a lot, and Jennifer will just want to Google it.
Yeah.
Like she's like, well, do you want the answer to the question or do you want to wonder about it? And I'm like, well,
I want to figure out the answer to myself. Like, I want to see that if my brain works and doesn't turn to mush. I just think I don't know. It is
great.
Interesting.
But we'll have these debates. And so so how tall is Shea Gildress-Alexander? I wonder how tall he is.
6'7".
But then you can Google it and find out. But it's fun to try to figure it out yourself because he plays smaller. Like, he doesn't.
He looks like a guard,
six,
like a
seven.
No,
but he is. Yeah, he's way taller than he looks. And you know, I could Google how much does David Pollock weigh. Like, your weight is your weight on the internet?
I'm sure everything's on the internet now. God, you can put everything on there. But I think it is a.
Well, let's get back to isolation.
Well, I think it is a problem.
I think phones.
Phones make it more comfortable, easier.
You think you're in community. You think you're in relationship because you're on Twitter or social media or X.
Or video games.
Or video games.
Because video games, now you just log into a room and you play with your friends. You're on a headset. You just log. You just play with them the whole time.
Yeah, so you have these like buddies all around the world.
Yeah, I mean, they're not really your friends.
They're like, just people you play video games with.
I put it like this.
Yeah.
I had several people back in the day that I played video games with that I played with almost every day, and I never met them before. But I literally know their kids' names, what's going on in their lives, like, because we sit there and talk about it, and we played Fortnite for forever. Now I'm off the train, thank God. It makes my life way more productive. But yeah, like you sit there.
I'm not a gamer, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, but I do think from an isolation standpoint, I think it's easier to isolate than get out of your comfort zone and go try to do things. Mm-hmm. Like, I think pride comes into it too. I mean, that's obviously, if you're going to check the list of a lot of things with men, pride is at the top of it. Like, I don't want to admit my faults. I don't want to admit things that I've done that I'm not proud of, you know, like I don't want to admit things that I've, how it ways I've wronged people. But what you find is just like with Peter, a lot of times it grows your relationship. It doesn't end it, especially the good ones. Mm-hmm. Like the good relationships, it's like, oh, guess what? I did the same thing. I screw up too. Let me tell you about this that I did. And that's what I love in this podcast, when I can get you to talk about those things. Like, where are the screw ups, man? Mm-hmm. Like, cause I got plenty. Like
going and telling Chipper Jones that I struck out Brett Favre.
I mean, we can probably do better next time. Like, that's definitely something that we'll
rein it in, Pastor Jay. We'll
work on it later. But
yeah.
But you, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it with the church too, with all the people that you mentor and stuff, of how easy it is to, I mean, not to get out of your comfort zone, not share Jesus, because I don't have to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, we were talking about this the other night, because there's a lot of, at church, now you do have the opposite of this. You do have husbands that come without their wives, but for the most part, you have a lot of wives and children who come to church without their husbands. And so the question was, how often do you keep reaching out to that husband, trying to get him involved, trying to get him to come to church? Can you do it too much? So that was the question we were asking, like, or one of the guys was asking in our group. It's pretty cool. We were sitting around a garage with like 11 guys talking about Jesus and being godly husbands and fathers. And so the question is, if one of the husbands or fathers isn't coming to church and his whole family is, how often should we keep reaching out to that person before you? Because you don't want to push him away.
You don't, yeah.
Like, you don't want to wear him out so much that he's like, doesn't want to come. But my thought was, never give up on anybody. I mean, I think you got to be strategic in how you invite people. But I have people in my life for 30 years, I'm still reaching out to them. I'm still ministering them. I'm still inviting them. Like, you don't ever give up on anybody.
Well, I think you've seen too, like, you've seen so many things that we've talked about on here before, of like a spouse praying for their spouse for 10 mm-hmm. years, for 15 years, and that it comes to fruition. So you don't want to give up, but I'll say this. I think it's hard, because when you get no so many times, it's difficult to keep going back. Mm-hmm. And it can be exhausting.
Yeah.
It can be frustrating. Like, there's a lot of things that come with it. But I do think what you said about thinking and being creative and finding creative ways to ask. And that's what I think the church does a good job, when you have different kind of events, whether it's outdoor events and mm-hmm. golf events, whatever it is, man, like continuing to find unique ways to push buttons and get people involved, and sending them videos of cool things you see. And maybe, you know, I saw an unbelievable one of Charlie Kirk. I've seen a bunch of unbelievable ones from Charlie Kirk. You know who Charlie Kirk is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's fantastic. But just talking about something, and, you know, like the way he identifies with the youth of America is better than us. And so being able to send videos of something like that, where maybe this connects to a button. So I think unique, different ways, different events, not the same, you know, Sunday service all the time. Cause you see it as a person, you see it and you're like, yeah, here it is again. Oh, wait, what is this? This is different. Like, that's cool. That's dope.
Yeah. I think life is better together, and accountability. I mean, you could apply this to really any area of your life. I know you're big on the working out, but you have guys that hold each other accountable to working out. Like, hey, yep. we're meeting at the gym at 12 o'clock or whatever. You get a better chance of working out if you got a buddy who's going to work out with you.
Not even close.
Than if you're going to do it by yourself.
Bro, it's
right.
When I go in there by myself, I get way less accomplished. I end up.
You don't have anybody pushing you.
I'm on my phone, yeah. Like they're in between sets. Like with my group, I don't even think about getting on my phone. And I also have somebody to beat and to compete with. And it's amazing, you know, the group that I've found too is it's been very specific, but we're talking about life. Like we're talking about our wives. We're talking about screw ups. We're talking about our kids. And so like, it's really a therapy session too, where you're getting it out and you're bearing each other's burdens. And next thing you know, you're texting one of your buddies from your group that night and you're praying with them. And like, you're just, I think that it's so important to have, well, and that to me is like, that's the time too. And so isolation isn't good. But I think you do need different types of groups. I'll put it in different categories. Like you need wifey time. You need kids time. You need friends time. You need time away from kids and wife time. Like those are important things to have as well. So again, that's not isolation still. There's not a lot about isolation that's good. Mm-hmm. There's just not a lot that it doesn't promote growth and the best version of you. It promotes the easiest path. It's just turn on a documentary, scroll my phone. It's not conversation. It's not real life. It's Netflix and phones. And it's not real life. That's not real. It's imaginary. And guess what? If I don't like the video, I just scroll up it real quick. Okay, I like that one. Don't like that. I don't like that TV show. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just easy, comfortable. And
yeah, I think the idea of like some of these men who aren't coming to church or aren't in small group or aren't connected, I think trying to create like a men's conference or like on this next Tuesday, we're having, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs, inviting the men out. We're going to talk about Titus 10, but we're trying to get them to come with the
hamburgers and hot dogs.
Or we have the golf group, you know, with Monday afternoon golf group. Guys might be willing to come play golf.
Yeah.
And then at the golf course, you're trying to steer the conversation towards spiritual things. I think you'd mention this while you're working out or you're going to dinner with somebody or you're hanging out with your buddies. Trying to steer that conversation towards spiritual things, trying to steer that conversation to something more than just, I mean, it's so easy just talk about sports and talk about, you know,
mindless things.
But hey, asking people about their, that's what I appreciate the other night. We were meeting in this monsoon. It was this guy grilled out some ribs and he had some halibut, he had some salmon, and he invited his neighbors. But it was like pouring rain. We're sitting in his garage. And it was so cool because the conversation was all about Jesus. The conversation was about being a godly husband, being a godly father. And it was just popcorning around. But it's looking at another man, like one of the guys in our group went through a divorce about 2 years ago. It's like, how are you doing? How are your kids handling this? What's going on in your life?
Pointed questions that you have to answer.
Pointed questions.
It's like talking to your kids when they come home from something. Like, how was it? They're going to say good.
Yeah.
But how are you doing?
Like very
good.
Specific.
Yes.
Like,
how's your marriage? Yeah. You know, I like to ask, how's your heart?
Yeah.
Like, how's your heart feeling? Like, how does what's going on with that? I was like, well, how does your heart feel about that? Like, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to broad spectrum. But I do like you got to ask questions. But I also think that when you're with people too, I think one of the most important things you can do is set a good standard. And like when people talk about people, like I get really quiet. I don't enjoy it. I don't love it. I don't love being around it. And you can also control that narrative too by shutting some of that stuff down and then leading the conversation elsewhere. But like, I just don't have a lot to say about John Doe, who's, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to say a person in my life because they listen to this show that might talk about something with other people. And I'm like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't care. I don't want to hear about other people and what they're doing and what their problems are. I got enough of my own. Like, I'm not worried about them and how they handle their problems. That's theirs. Like, now if I can plug in and I can help, so be it. But I'm not trying to talk about them to make me feel better about me. Like,
well, let's, as far as application goes, man, what would you say to, what if someone's listening to this podcast right now and they're realizing, I've isolated myself. Like I don't have a group of friends that I do life with. Like someone, I think someone out there listening is probably, you know, I'm speak Like, as I'm speaking right now, it's like that divine unction. Like, it's God speaking to them. Like, hey, you're that person who's isolated.
What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it? What would you suggest someone to do about it?
Well, I think that person, but also I think the person that has bad friends, you know, that are also leading you down a path that you don't want to be on. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't feel like you like where you're at and where your family's at, like, it's really difficult sometimes to make changes and hurt feelings. You got to figure out what's important to you. You got to figure out the things, like, it's always a self-evaluation. It's always like, where am I at? Where do I want to go? If I want to go meet new friends, what does that look like? Well, I'm probably not going to find the friends that we're talking about in a bar. It's probably not the first place to start. So. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, just,
see, that's where you and I are. Like, that's not even on my radar, but that's a great point.
That's not even on my radar,
but that's probably the person who's isolated.
100%. I got to go find people to hang out with. Where do I go? A bar, a restaurant. Like, yeah. I mean, it's probably not my first choice right now. Like, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, church, you're going to go find people. And listen, it's going to be different. It's going to be awkward. And you got to go to some places new sometimes. But I think, you know, people that go to church, there's a lot of people there that are like me and Pastor Jay that, like, we're looking for you people. Like, we're looking for people that we can pour into and mm-hmm. help and change. And there's a lot of people on staff that they're paid to do that. Like, they're literally paid to make sure that you have a good experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you ever thought about that, you're walking into church, those people are cheering for you. They want you to become successful. There's not a lot of that in life everywhere else. And so I think, you know, finding something to do with church, finding hobbies that you're good at, like things that you want to do, and then surround those hobbies with the people that you want to find them with too. Like, right? Like those, if you like to watch movies, if you like to watch documentaries, perfect example. I like to watch Netflix. I think that's fun. Like, I like it when my kids go to sleep and it decompresses me. House of David, The Chosen. Like, those are good options. I have other options on there that take you through scripture and do stuff. Like, that's a much better use of my time. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't watch movies and I don't watch crap sometimes. But, like, I also want to make sure that, like, I'm filling myself with good stuff too. And so I'll find those things and make sure I watch. I'll make sure that I read, like, and I read good stuff for me. So I think, you know, evaluate where you want to be. Like, where do I want to get to? I want to get to meet a few close friends, and what do I want it centered around? What are the most important things? Like, that's how we start to make a plan to go. And we're not, like, going on making ourselves desperate. Like, we can go and let things happen how they're going to happen, but we got to look in the right spots, I think. I think that's the most important
thing. Yeah, you brought up watching movies. So there's a guy in my discipleship group. He and his wife have started, they do a once a month dinner and a movie, and they pick a Christian-based movie, and they've invited 20 couples over, and I think it's kind of been growing every month, but they'll pick a movie, and then after the movie, they'll talk about it. And so it's kind of what you're saying. It's like they're creating this fellowship around movies. And another group of guys I know, they go to lunch. They go to lunch on Wednesdays. They let everybody know, you know, where it's going to be. But they show up with a devotion. There's like a devotion, and it's kind of lunch, and it's fellowship. And so
it's purposeful.
It's putting some purpose behind. And this guy said this yesterday as I went to the lunch yesterday, and he was talking about, what did the phrase he used? Something along the ideas of, I'm now having fun with my faith. And he said before he was so driven and never took the time to build these type of friendships and relationships in small groups, and now he's semi-retired, or maybe he's fully retired, but he's like, we're just having fun with the faith. So it's like, we're playing golf together. We're purposely going to dinner with other Christian couples. Like, we're doing life on life, fun. Like, we're going to do these things anyway. We're going to eat anyway. We're going to play golf anyway. We're going to watch movies anyway.
Well, and that's one thing
to do with other Christian couples.
I think some people in the outside world think Christianity is a rigid, rugged set of rules, and it's like no fun. Like, you're in the wrong spot. I mean, it's not, I would argue that Christians do have a lot of fun. Now, they might not partake in all of the things that you partake in, but I think there's a zeal and a zest for life that you usually can tell, and a peace mm-hmm. that is really profound and really cool. And I think you plug into people like that, and yet you can still go have fun and do all the things. But I will say this, it's easier to sit at home. It's way easier not to put yourself out there, because one thing, you know, you look at one video to the next, and 3 hours is gone. And I can do that.
And then you feel terrible. Like it's a waste of time. Some
people
do.
Yeah. And, but also some people feel like they made the time go by, and now I can go to bed, wake up the next day, and it's gone. It's a filler. Mm-hmm. It's filling a void. It's filling an emptiness that inside that like, but if you're feeling some kind of way, like you just said, if you're feeling guilty about, like, those are the things we got to take action on. Like when I have something in my life that I feel guilty about, like I got to address it. Like if I'm feeling guilt that I'm doing something, there's something wrong. And I need to figure out what that is. Like, God, where do I need to change this? Because this ain't for me. This is obviously something that you don't like, because I can feel it. I know what's going on right in here in my chest, and I need to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think all these things, just being cognizant of it. And listen, it's harder when you're single, right? Like when you're married, you have more things. And when you have kids, you have more things and more distractions that keep your time really, really busy and really, really tied up. But that doesn't mean you can't still not, that doesn't mean you still can't be lonely, because there's plenty of people that are also lonely, and they've chosen a path that they'll come home and isolate themselves, like to give. And listen, I'll be honest. I do it when I come home from a long day of stuff. Like I go in the bedroom for a little bit and I lay on the bed on my side of the bed and I just chillax, and I usually eat, and I'm like, I need 15 minutes or so. And then I get up and I'm good. Like, but I need that time. Like I prefer that time.
And that's normal.
Yeah.
I would say the person, we'll wrap it up with this. I'll say the person out there that feels isolated and feels lonely, I would think, who is the best person you know? Whoever the best person you know is, just pick up your phone, text them, call them, and say, hey, can we go to breakfast? Can we go to lunch? Can we get together?
I'm looking for peace.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a little bit more of this, and there's probably a reason that you have a respect for that person and a want to reach out and a want to emulate. Like those are good things. But yeah, that's a good way to do it. And I mean, here's the deal. When you're around people, like-minded people, purposeful people, there's no doubt in my mind, it makes you the best version of you. Mm-hmm. But you can also find the other. If you want to go up, like there's people that are negative. There's people that talk about people. There's people that curse. All of that's going to rub off. Like, it is so lame, and I hate saying this. Your mom and daddy said you are what you hang with, but they're so right. And I hate that they're right, because I used to want to slap them when it's it over and over and over again.
You know, there's now scientific proof that you become like the people you spend time with, like your brain waves.
I would love
something
to
do with your brain waves, like start to be like their brain waves, like there's,
you can't
actual,
just say that without like having some kind of like data to back that up,
but I've heard this recently that, of course, we all know it's true.
Yes.
Because we've all been there. Our kids have been there. You want to get your kids around the right.
You're around people that curse, you naturally start cursing
but
more.
But there's something now in the, there's been science proven that your brain waves begin to, I don't know anything about neurology, but they begin to be like the people that you're around.
We are a species that has continued to evolve and adapt. So why would you not evolve around the people you're around? Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to evolve with them. You're going to think like them. I've said this a bunch, but I want people to hear it. If you hang out with people that have a bad marriage, your marriage is going to be bad. Like, I know that's very simplistic, but they don't care about their marriage. They don't give a rat's butt about yours. Like, if their marriage isn't important, neither is yours. So just consider that when you're hanging around people, and when you watch people treat their wives a certain type of way, and you're like, wait a minute, because that should be indicator number one. Like, right off the bat, like, my antenna is like, if you treat your wife like crap, like, I'm like, probably not, like, I want to hang out material. I mean, if that's how you treat the most important person in your world, I can't imagine how you treat me behind my back.